News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The second GST Council meeting in a week, held on Monday, did not end the deadlock between opposition states and centre, with Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman urging the states to opt for the first borrowing option. The council, chaired by Sitharaman and comprising state finance ministers, for the third time in a row discussed the issue of funding the shortfall of goods and services tax revenue of states. While some opposition-ruled states demanded that a group of ministers be set up to arrive at a decision on the mechanism for funding compensation shortfall, the BJP-ruled states, which have already opted for the borrowing option given by the centre, are of the view that they should be given a go-ahead so that they can get money quickly. Punjab Finance Minister Manpreet Badal said it would not be right for the centre to impose its will, asserting that the shortfall should only be made good by the centre replenishing the compensation fund instead of asking states to borrow. He asked the centre to establish a mechanism to adjudicate any dispute. Punjab has already rejected the centre's proposal of borrowing by states to meet shortfall in GST revenue. The centre repeatedly emphasised the point that 21 states and union territories have already accepted the first option, and that as per constitutional provisions, the GST Council does not have the jurisdiction to approve the borrowing plan of states. The two borrowing options given by the centre to the states at an earlier GST meeting included calculating GST-related shortfall in revenue at Rs 1.10 lakh crore, which states should borrow from the RBI under a special dispensation. This borrowing will not be counted from any of the state's existing borrowings, and its entire interest and principal would be settled through compensation cess, including the levy, in the extended period. The second option gives the states plan to borrow the entire expected shortfall of Rs 2,35,000 crore this year, and this borrowing will only be paid back to states during the extended period of GST compensation cess levy. As states are hard-pressed for finances to meet their expenditure, some like Bihar want the issue of pending compensation dues worth over Rs 2 lakh crore to be settled at the earliest. In the last meeting, the council extended the GST compensation cess beyond 2022. However, on the issue of borrowing options to meet revenue shortfall, there was no consensus. A civil suit has been filed before Delhi High Court by 4 Bollywood industry associations and 34 leading production houses, praying that the court direct 2 news channels and unknown defendants, as well as social media platforms, to refrain from making or publishing irresponsible, derogatory and defamatory remarks against the Hindi film industry as a whole and members of Bollywood. The suit also sought to restrain the news channels from conducting media trials of Bollywood personalities and interfering with right to privacy of people associated with the film industry. The plaintiffs also prayed that the defendants abide by the provisions of the program code under the Cable Television Network Rules 1994 and to withdraw, recall and take down all defamatory content published by them against Bollywood. This comes in the wake of the above-mentioned channels using words and expressions for Bollywood such as dirt, filth, scum and druggies, and expressions such as "it is Bollywood where the dirt needs to be cleaned." All the perfumes of Arabia cannot take away the stench and the stink of this filth and scum of the underbelly of Bollywood. This is the dirtiest industry in the country, and cocaine and LSD drenched Bollywood. The civil suits pleaded that Bollywood denizens are a distinct and well-recognized class, adding that over several years, the industry has been a huge source of revenue for the public exchequer and has earned significant foreign exchange for India from overseas film releases as well as generating tourism. The suit also reminded that the industry is a big source of employment, with various other industries also being dependent on it. The suit reminded that Bollywood is unique and stands on a different footing from any other industry, in as much as it is dependent almost solely on goodwill appreciation and acceptance of its audience. The livelihood of persons associated with Bollywood is being severely impacted by the smear campaign run by the defendants, the suit asserted, adding that this was in addition to the ongoing pandemic, which has resulted in extreme losses in revenues and work opportunity. the privacy of the members of Bollywood was being invaded, the civil suit contended, and their reputations irreparably damaged by painting the entire industry as criminals seeped in drug culture. To be a part of Bollywood was being painted as being synonymous with criminal acts in the public imagination, it was stated. Almost all well-known names in Bollywood are represented through the plaintiffs, including Producers Guild of India, Cine and TV Artists Association, Film and TV Producers Council, and Screenwriters Association. That apart, 34 production houses have also been represented. Maharashtra Chief Minister Uddhav Thackeray on Monday took serious cognizance of a massive power outage in the Mumbai metropolitan region and ordered an immediate probe. Thackeray held a meeting on the issue and instructed authorities concerned to ensure there is no recurrence of the episode, an official statement said. Power supply in majority of areas in the city was restored within 3 to 3.5 hours after it was affected at around 10 a.m., it said. State Energy Minister Nitin Rawat, who attended the meeting via video conferencing, also said reasons behind the technical snag that caused power failure will be probed. Nitin Rawat later tweeted that power supply to all essential services in Mumbai, Mumbai suburbs, Kalyan, Thane, Palghar and New Mumbai have been restored. The meeting, which was held at the Chief Minister's official residence, Varsha, in the afternoon, was also attended by State Chief Secretary Sanjay Kumar and representatives of power supplying companies like Best, Tata and Adani. During the meeting, the Chief Minister instructed a probe into the matter and asked to ensure there is no repeat of the incident, the statement said. The CM has asked to check whether the snag was expected, unexpected, or was caused by dereliction, and directed authorities concerned to remain alert in view of the withdrawing monsoon forecast over the next 4 days. The circuit 1 at 400 kV Kalwa Padga GIS stopped working due to overvoltage at 4:33 a.m. The supply, however, was unaffected even as the maintenance work on the circuit 1 was on, the statement said. Earlier in the day, Rawat said the entire load was then transferred to circuit 2. Repair and maintenance work of circuit 1 of 400 kV GIS was underway and the entire load was put on circuit 2. However, sudden technical failure in circuit 2 resulted in power being affected in most parts of Mumbai and Thane, Rawat said. He also directed the State Chief Secretary to ensure that the control rooms and fire brigade are on alert to prevent any mishaps due to power outage, it said. In the morning, the power outage paralyzed Mumbai, halting local train services, trapping people in lifts and disrupting work from home adopted by millions during the ongoing pandemic. And US President Donald Trump took to Twitter to denounce demonstrators in Portland, Oregon, who got violent on Sunday night and overturned statues of former presidents Theodore Roosevelt and Abraham Lincoln in protest to Columbus Day. Protest organizers dubbed the event Indigenous People's Day of Rage in response to Monday's federal holiday named after 15th century Italian explorer Christopher Columbus, a polarizing figure who Native American advocates have said spurred centuries of genocide against indigenous populations in the Americas. Historians have said Roosevelt expressed hostility toward Native Americans, once saying, "I don't go so far as to think that the only good Indians are dead Indians, but I believe 9 out of every 10 are." Protesters spray-painted Dakota 38 on the base of Lincoln statue, referencing the 38 Dakota men Lincoln approved to have hanged after the men were involved in a violent conflict with white settlers in Minnesota. On Monday, Trump took to Twitter to share a video of Lincoln's toppled statue as it lay face down in the ground. "These are Biden fools, Antifa radicals. Get them, FBI, and get them now," Trump tweeted. Trump's tweet got a lot of responses. While many applauded the call to the FBI against the vandals, others called out Trump for taking names and unfairly invoking Biden's name. Many also pointed out that Trump had not had similar responses against right-wing violence or threats from white supremacists. Trump has blamed Antifa and the far left for the ongoing protests in Portland, Oregon, where an ongoing battle between state police forces and protesters has made headlines since May, when protests first started after the killing of George Floyd. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.